Legends, welcome to the Gym Boss Podcast. We've got a returning guest. I think this is our very first guest that we've had come back and do the second podcast with us. And before I introduce this legend, this gentleman, I'm going to just drop in my stuff right here. If you're a gym owner and you're wanting to get some assistance with somebody helping you run your advertising to help you obviously get more leads, grow your brand and get more clients all at the same time, then go to iwantgymleads.com. iwantgymleads.com. We've got an offer over there, which is where we'll actually bring you your first 10 clients for free. And you can go over there and you can see a little bit more about that and how that all works. But now that's out of the way, Johnny, welcome back. Johnny from PBS. Hey, man.
Thanks for having me back on board. And I must say, what an honor to be your first returning guest.
Yeah. And so quickly too, I think it's 2 weeks since our last one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We obviously had some unfinished business off the last podcast and a lot more to cover.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing that you and I were chatting about. I think it might've been off the podcast, but this is why I wanted to bring you back. For you, those of you guys, if you don't remember, if you didn't listen to the last episode, go back and listen to it. And if you haven't, Johnny's got four gyms over in Western Australia, Perth, Australia. And there's this concept that with getting great staff to stay. And if you have somebody that's a senior staff member and they might be like a manager or they might be some form of senior role within the business that you have, a lot of gym owners really want to provide other growth pathways and other opportunities for their team, which I think is fantastic, but they feel like, well, I'm tapped out. This is where I'm at. And I know some people have done in the past where they offer like an equity partnership to go and open another location. And I believe you've done something along those lines to help you grow to your multiple locations. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Within our four locations, I've got two partners in two of the locations who are invested. And not only that, they just add so much value to the team as a whole because they feel like they are, part of the business and not just working for Johnny, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And so I think this is a really cool episode to dig into because I know there's plenty of people in the past that I spoke to where they've come up to that problem. So today I want to dig into the nitty gritty, like what is it? How does it work? And if somebody's looking at doing it, what's some steps or tips that you've done along the way so they could sort of learn from what you've done?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, there's no secret that there's a real glass ceiling in the fitness industry. Once you become a personal trainer, you can either go at it on your own, make all the mistakes yourself and go through all that arduous journey of opening your own gym and doing all that stuff. Or you can obviously work with someone who's done it all before you and make your life a whole lot easier and further your career while adding value to a wider community, I feel.
Yeah,
and that's sort of what we're able to offer. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And this is also so you don't lose these incredible team members. This is the number one thing is if you've cultivated this person from the ground up, educated them, trained them, brought them in on your values, everything, all your systems, they know it inside and out. They've only got, if they've got no other pathway for them to grow, then the only other option for them, especially if they're real go-getters, like what they most of the times are, they're going to go and look for another opportunity, which might be with another business or opening their own business. So if you want to keep them and help them then still get that progression, that professional growth, this is the natural thing to work towards.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And your A players in the business, they are probably driven more than, or they're probably not driven purely from financial compensation. They'll be driven by feeling like they're actually contributing to the growth of the business. That's what's going to keep them around after a certain point. So having, bringing them on as a partner, giving them equity share and giving them the opportunity to take on more responsibilities, that just provides a whole new challenge. And if you've got A players in your business, they'll be driven by contribution and by continual growth through more challenges.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so true. Because not everybody is motivated by money. Money is cool. But I don't think it's the first thing that a lot of people, you'd be quite surprised.
And if they are, they might be in the wrong industry, man, to be honest.
Yeah, it should be in sales or something.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we did, and a lot of guys have done this in the past, you know, I learned it from my first mentor, Jack Zubelek, with the Body Consultants. They were over here in WA, and he sort of taught me that. And I believe he probably learned it from one of his mentors, TJ, from results-based training, RBT. So the concept's always around, and not just exclusive to the fitness industry, but obviously many big businesses always bring in their A players and give them a share in the business to help keep them around, but also just to get them to add more value at a greater level to their team.
Yeah, because they have ownership, like internally they feel ownership, but on paper they actually have ownership as well, which means they're going to be even more loyal, more dedicated, and so on.
Yeah, yeah. And you imagine the pride in a guy who's been doing personal training for 10 years probably feels like that's as far as he's going to get with his career. And then he's able to go home one day and tell his family or tell his friends that, hey, I actually own part of a gym now. You know what I mean? And for a lot of people, personal training doesn't have that sort of sustainability to it. It doesn't have a long-term career attached to that industry. As guys get older, they get families, they have other goals in life, you're able to provide them with ownership, flexibility, more responsibility, and the opportunity to sort of feel like they're a part of something bigger than what their original career started off as. So it's really rewarding to see guys take pride in a business that you created.
So good. Like, I love this concept because it is that pride. It is that now it's a proper career. Now everything I've put in has, I'm not saying that personal training is not a proper career, but you're right. There is a certain, for the average, I'm sure there's outliers, and I know there's outliers everywhere, but for the average, the being a trainer, being a coach is relatively a young profession in terms of age. So as people start to get families, they start going, oh, well, I need something with a bit more security, a bit more longevity, or blah, 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 whatever. And this is what you're providing for them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you've nailed it on the head. I mean, I know when I first became a trainer, I definitely didn't feel that people looked at me and thought, okay, this guy's making a great career choice. People probably thought, oh yeah, this guy just wants to be a trainer and have a good lifestyle and hit the gym all day and while getting paid for it type thing. They didn't really see it as a respectful career choice. So one of my missions was to raise the standard of professionalism in the fitness industry and to provide sustainable careers for coaches. And this plays a big part of that, where people can be respected and take pride in their job in the fitness industry and not just be seen as someone who gets paid for their hobby.
Yeah. That's so true,
man. That's to put it bluntly, that's how I felt,
I know, but if you are a trainer, I know from personal experience as well, and so could you, that's how people might view you, but I know that's not how we view it when you're in it. It is your business. You do treat it properly. It is a career. It is, you know, the way that you can provide for yourselves. It's just kind of weird. It's got that stigma about it with the rest of the general population.
Yeah, and obviously there could be reasons why, but I mean, you know, you're making such a huge impact to people's lives. You should take huge pride in your work, but also on the flip side, you know, you can also be compensated accordingly for it and maintain a lifestyle that you want to live and provide for a family while doing so, you know, which is where I think the financial pressure as you get older and start to have other goals starts to misalign with that of your career in the fitness industry if you aren't able to get them to work together. So for us, being able to provide career progression for personal trainers, coaches, and managers and have them buy into the business and become partners allows them to tick both boxes, which is really important to live a fulfilled life.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. So let's get into the nitty gritty. What's some, like, how do you set this up? And, you know, what's some steps that you'd advise others to follow?
Yeah. Well, the first thing, obviously, you know, you're going to be wanting to be running and operating a business that others will take pride in being part of. You know, we sort of, you know, that's obviously pretty obvious. So, you know, it probably wouldn't be called Johnny's Gym for starters, because no one wants to buy into a Johnny's Gym. They want to buy into a brand, something that's that is community based and they're able to not always live under your shadow, if that makes sense. I think, which is where humility, where, you know, having to drop the ego and understand that it's no longer going to be all about you as Johnny, the owner of PBS. It's going to be about the team and them contributing beyond you. I think that was the first step, to be honest. I think as a person, just, you know, showing humility, being able to take a step back and knowing that others are going to have just as much contribution as you are to the growth of the business, and it's not going to be all about you anymore, which I'll just point that out, because obviously in the fitness industry, we, you know, it's sort of, it can be all about significance, and you're only used to working for yourself and representing yourself. So that would be the first step. Second to that, I think once you've built your brand and the gym's able to prove its growth and show its value, then you need to know what the value of the business is, because if people are going to be investing in a share of the business, you need to know what that share represents and how much each share costs and what you're willing to give up to allow that person to buy in.
Yeah, I like it. So step one, have a proven business that's actually successful, because you don't want to be like in the red financially, and you know, systems operations aren't proven, and you know, all that stuff. So let's assume that the person that's listening to this is at that level. They're at that level. I've tapped out. My gym's at 250, 300 members.
Yep.
Busting at the seams. We've got a great community, everything. Now what's the next step?
Cool. So the next step then, you know, once you've got that and you know the value of your gym and what everything's worth, then obviously you're going to identify who these A players are and who's willing to make that step up, because there could be a few flags. You know, a great coach doesn't mean they're always going to be a great partner. You know, they might be great at coaching, but they might not be great at something else, you know. And also what you want to identify, if you're going to start partnering up with people, you can't partner up with identical versions of you, you know. You want to be partnering up with people who cover your weaknesses, you know, and are able to see your blind spots, because you're already you already add your value to the business. You want to partner with people who add other value to the business, and you know, you're not going to clash with all the time.
Yeah, that's so true, because a lot of the times you're like, man, I really vibe with that person, it was cool, had it, like, we get along really well. It's because you guys have got the same, you know, you might be both extroverted people and maybe not necessarily like detail focused people. So, you know, and you might be vibing with that person real hard, but then if you're going to go into partnership with somebody, you're like, well, we need somebody that's detail oriented, that loves to get into the figures and the nitty gritty, because now you're like combining your forces together rather than having really strong weighted in, say, for example, say marketing, but not in operations.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like an entrepreneur partnering with someone who's more of a manager. One's going to be more vision focused and always get distracted by the shiny objects and want to grow. The manager's going to keep them grounded. They're going to run the numbers. They're going to know the KPIs and how to structure everything to keep the entrepreneur in check, you know. And then you've got the technician who's like the coach in your business, you know. So you could partner with a coach because they're really passionate about helping people and they're happy to do the coaching and head coaching and all that stuff, whereas you're more the business guy and you're going to do the operation and stuff like that, you know. Wherever you see yourself in the business and what your strengths are, you partner with people who cover the other areas of your business, you know. In saying that, we've obviously done it through multiple locations. So although we operate as one whole business, I've got two partners at two separate locations. So they take ownership of that location, but also their skills and strengths can add value back to the business as a whole, you know, not exclusively to their location as part of our leadership team, you know.
Oh, man, that's juicy. That's actually really juicy, because let's just go back to the scenario I said, this made up scenario, which is pretty common for some people, right? They've got their full gym proven. Let's just say they've got a gym manager who's like maybe their head coach, but also manager, and huge asset to the business, and have that entrepreneurial spirit as well. Like, you know, they're more than just a coach. You know, they've got it in them. They've identified the right person. Now, what do you do? Because we're talking about, in this case, opening location number two.
But that's right.
This partner is going to be essentially part owner of it, but they're also going to be the person that's responsible for the day-to-day operations and like running it, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what we did at one of my locations. I was in my original location here at Morley. I had Jats on board. he had only been on board with us for about 6 months, but he had 10 years experience in the industry. He had worked in various different roles. Even in his job interview, you know, I asked him, you know, what brought you here to PPS? And I'll never forget it. He looked at me and said, I've worked at all these roles, you know, had security and all that sort of stuff, but I want to be a part of something better. I want to be a part of something big, you know, and that stuck with me, you know, because I knew that already he was looking to be more than just a trainer at someone's gym. And throughout his initial 6 months working with us, I could see all the attributes of someone who could run his own gym. You know, he had the coaching down packed. He had the entrepreneurial sense. He had good management skills as well. And I had another location lined up, which at the time would have been our third location. And it was just obvious to me that for him to be continue to be motivated over the next 12 to 24 months, he would need to be challenged more. And we didn't have that challenge for him at Morley. So I was able to talk to him and say, hey, man, I think it's time for you to step up. Let's open another gym together in Wanneroo. And he was thrown back by it for a bit, which is good because he was frightened by the challenge, you know, which I think is really important. But then he messaged me back the next day and said, man, let's do it, you know. So what we did then was we had to have all our systems sorted at Morley and ensure that he had been across every system and knew how to, you know, knew how to run the original location if I wasn't around. And then I was able to then to step back and give him the opportunity to work independently at Morley while I'm not around. So he had to, so he could prove that it was possible. And then we worked together on building and replicating the same culture at what became PPS Wanneroo.
Oh, cool. So you actually, sort of threw him in the deep end, so to speak. So training at your existing location and like acting as if that was his gym in preparation for opening his gym.
Yeah, that absolutely. Because I was not at Morley as much as I would usually have been at the time because we had just opened our second location a few months prior and I was helping Craig, who runs PPS Yanjibab, down there. So Jack's pretty early on into his career with us at PPS was independent and pretty autonomous in his role. And that was a good sign for me to be able to get him to run the gym. And I think, yeah, pressure creates diamonds. And that's one of Jack's favorite sayings, actually, and throwing someone in the deep end is the best way to learn because you find out a lot about someone when they're under pressure.
So good. And so you've got this person on board. You're like, cool, let's get you started in terms of training at our existing location.
Mm.
How long is that training period? Like, what did you do in your experience? Because I know it could be different for everybody.
Yeah,
what
it
did
is.
You do?
It's how long is a piece of string, you know? Just to give some context, that was Jack's. I opened this our second location with a really good friend and a mentor of mine. His name's Craig. And he actually never worked at PPS at all when we opened until we opened the second location together. But Craig is an amazing coach, was one of my mentors in the fitness industry. So I knew he had that side of it covered. And then essentially he was partnering with me to open a gym because he had seen that I had the business side covered, you know, and this is where it comes down to partnering with the right people who complement your skill sets. So we partnered together and opened the location where he had no experience at all working at PPS, but because I knew he covered those bases for us and I trusted him, we were able to do that. And I just trained him at the location and worked with him on the systems as we opened it.
So good. And so do you literally show him everything? Like you're like, here's P&Ls, like here's how, like, you know, we talk with our bookkeeper, here's what we do with our accountant, like if we'll get him in on like the nitty gritty of business stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think transparency is really important in any partnership, you know, open and honest communication, especially when they're at the end of the day, there is money involved. You know, I think trust is just so important. And yeah, we run it full equally together. And in terms of running and learning systems, which we just continue to develop and refine over time, we run weekly huddles as a leadership team between the three of us where we can openly discuss what's working for each other, what isn't, and how we can all improve together. Because the goal really is not for each location to run independently, but the whole business sort of run as a whole and, you know, have the quality the same at every location that we go to.
Yeah, that's
Does that
cool.
make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, 100% sense. So it doesn't matter how many locations you end up having, you are the one business just with separate locations.
Yeah, that's it. And because you want, I guess, your partners especially to take pride in your whole business, you know, and know that they're associated with a good brand, not just their location, but the brand as a whole is a reflection across all of them, you know. And so everything has to run to a really high standard and quality, because no one wants to be known to have a partnership in a brand that doesn't have a great reputation, because that's a poor reflection of them. So it's really important that you continue to run your whole business to that standard and not just expect every location to have different standards.
Like it. And when you say partnership, what does that look like? Is it like 50-50, or you give them like a small percentage plus salary? What is it?
So essentially, like, and the reason we do this, so our managers who are partners in these two locations, they are on a base salary, because that's that security component. And essentially they are managers. So even if they weren't on a salary themselves and they were stepping out of the business, someone would have to be in that position earning that salary anyway to manage it. So you've always got to cover that expense to run a business. So they're on a salary, which covers their day-to-day. And then obviously their growth, or the desire to want to grow, is where the equity payments can come in, where you're paying out dividends after a few years of, making back your losses and all that sort of stuff. And that's where it's essentially it's a bonus based on how well they perform, really, because it's a percentage of the revenue generated, you know. At a minimum, we do a 10% buy-in of what the business is worth. And then obviously I would do no less myself than 60% and give the opportunity for them to either reinvest every year to continue buying bigger portions of the location.
Got it. So that's really interesting. So you get them to do a 10% buy-in. How, like, somebody listening to this might be like, cool, I've got this business, it's rocking. How do I get it valued so I know what to charge? What is 10% of the value?
So we valued it on a multiple of what our proven business model revenue was at the time, you know. So that, and then obviously you're throwing in IP with that as well, and the brand reputation and all that, you know. So we used a multiple of 3 at the time, and that's how I'd be doing it, you know. And then you've got to back that up, because you're going into it, you know, you're going into a chat with someone saying, hey, look, you know, you're a part of this business, you know how well we're doing, these are the numbers, this is what's replicated over the past few years, we know it works, this is what it would cost to open your own gym, X, you know. And then you have to build up your own brand, your own reputation. Or if you're wanting to make that step up, you're able to open your own gym for this, buy in and get a share of it and have the opportunity to stay part of something that you're proud of, you know.
You know why I'm smiling? Because that's a hard out sales pitch.
Absolutely.
Because everything is a sale, no matter what it is.
Option A, option B, which one do you want? You know,
A, B, close. But it's also highlighting, like, here's what it would be if you went on your own. Here's all the risks. Here's all the exposure. Yep. Here's everything. Or
here's all the gray hairs from me starting it.
Or alternatively, you could partner with us. And then you start to be a bit more upbeat in your delivery. It's true, though. But I think highlighting the differences between the two, that's actually a really makes sense. It's a smart way to go about it.
Especially if the person's an A player, coach, and a good maybe operator. But, you know, you as the entrepreneur, assuming that's your role in the business, you're needed in the business, you know what I mean? They need that, they want to do what they keep doing, which is coaching people and managing their gym, but they still need the entrepreneur in the background doing what they do best. So it saves them. They might not have that side of it in them, you know what I mean? Which is the value that you provide and obviously the brand that you've built.
Love it. And go back to the part where you're talking about a multiple, because I know what you're talking about, but some people might not. And a multiple means, like, well, first of all, is the multiple done off total revenue or profit?
Profit. We do off profit. Yeah, we do total multiple of profit. So obviously, you know, your business isn't worth much if it's not making a profit, for starters. And no one probably wants to partner with you anyway if you're not yeah. making a profit. So that's the main thing. And you know, showing that it's attainable and replicable is really important. So yes, you've built your first location and it's doing really well. That's cool that it's making a profit, but you obviously need to prove and have to be confident that that can be replicated with the right people, you know. And that was really important to us, because most people's first location that they poured their heart and soul into when they open their first gym is going to do pretty well. You know, it's a reflection of you as a passionate business owner. Can that be replicated without you there? You know, and that's obviously where the partner comes in, but they need to see that it is attainable and possible to achieve those figures after, say, a couple of years, you know?
Yeah, I love it. So again, I'm just assuming that people don't know what we're talking about. So it's a multiple of profit per yep. year, correct? So
yeah, that's
let's
right.
just say, so let's just say you're making
a couple of years revenue. Yeah, say to solidify it, you know, not that one year you made profit, you know?
Yeah. And so how many years do you, is it just since you opened, or like how many years do you go back?
Yeah, so at the time, the business had only actually been open a couple of years. So we had a couple of years to prove it off. And obviously, we're able to prove that it was still growing as well.
Got it. So let's just say, for easy mathematics here, the average profit per year was 100K. I'm just using that because it's easy number.
Yep.
Let's just say profit per year, it's an individual location, correct? Not the whole, if you've got multiple.
That's right. So at the time, it's just our one location, you know?
Yeah. Cool. So one location, after everything's all said and done at the end of the year, you've got 100K profit after wages, after rent, after expenses, after everything. So then the multiple, where you said multiple of three, means you times 100K times three. So that means the valuation of the business is $300,000.
Yep.
Cool. Then you ask this person you want to partner with to pay 10% as a buy-in of that 300,000.
Yeah.
Meaning you're asking them to upfront pay 30K cash.
That's right. 30K. Yeah. And they'd have 10% of the business. And then I guess what you're saying too is that means after a couple of years of building this location up, or whatever time frame you agree on, you should then be earning an extra 10K per year as dividends. Because you're saying that your profit, the profit at your location should be 100K after a few years, which is what we value the business on, which means your salary plus 10K per year dividends, assuming that you're going to be paying out share dividends at the end of the year, or whatever percentage you end up owning. If you end up owning 40%, then you're getting 40K of that 100 to pay out.
Okay. And so that's very clear. And I like it. So with the dividends, let's just say somebody that's listening to this is the person that is maybe the head coach, the manager, and they're listening to this and they're like, oh, okay. So there's a potential opportunity. Maybe they could approach their boss and be like, hey, look, I want to do this with you. And they're getting all this information so they can be prepared. So that means they would be on a salary.
Yep.
That's just call it like a manager's salary, I don't know, 60 grand a year or something, 70 grand a year, whatever you pay. So they get that as their weekly or fortnightly, however you pay, as their normal salary, like on the books, taxes getting taken care of for them, all that sort of stuff. Then the dividends, is that paid at the end of the financial year?
Yeah, I'd be doing end of financial year. Yeah. But I'd be tracking quarterly with the team to show them that they are either on or off track to hit the numbers required, you know, which is accountability, you know, because essentially they're in control of that. You know, if they're not hitting the KPIs or the right numbers, then a consequence of that, they won't be hitting the revenue required to hit that dividends goal.
I like it. So you don't pay it out quarterly, you pay it out at the end of the financial year.
Yeah, I'd be doing yearly, but that's completely optional. But yearly would then just continue to motivate the team to be aiming towards that larger goal.
Yeah. And this is how you get that person to be even more bought in and motivated, because it's essentially like a bonus for them at the end, which they are 100% in control of.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they're really invested, obviously they can have the opportunity to then take dividends and reinvest back in the business to buy more share profit. So after 3 or 4 years, they go from 10% from their initial 30K investment, you know, up to 20, 30, 40%, you know what I mean? But perhaps even in the past, guys have even done, one of my managers has even done a salary sacrifice over the years to just continue to be able to buy back more control, more percentage over the weeks. Yeah.
That's actually cool. That's smart. So but either way, they could get their bonus at or their dividend at the end of the year. And yeah. Let's just say it's the 10%. And they do 100K their first year. They crushed it. Like that would be awesome, right? So then they can get that 10K and they can give it back to you and go, cool, now I want that to be reinvested back in.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And that means that's not another 10% though, is it? Because it's still off the 3 multiple.
No, it would still be working off there, you know, it'd still be working off that, but it can, over time, can add up or they can contribute more themselves, you know what I mean?
Yeah, cool.
And if they were hitting those numbers especially that early on, you'd probably be a fool not to let them buy more. Because they are clearly doing a great job, you know what I mean? And as an example, like Jets and Craig, they're really autonomous. Although we work virtually a lot together and catch up personally, I personally don't have a lot to do with their locations because they take full ownership of running our model and representing our brand to high value themselves, you know what I mean? So, you know, if you're able to get them more invested, then that's less physically that you have to do, you know?
100%.
Especially with high levels of trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I want to come back to that in a second. So the trust thing. Let's say someone's listening to this now and they're like, great, whether they're a head coach looking to approach their boss with this opportunity or vice versa, how do you actually do the partnership? You got to get a solicitor. Like what's, and I know you're not, I'm a disclaimer here. Johnny is a gym owner. He's not a financial advisor. He's not a solicitor. Yeah. Go get proper professional advice. But what did you do?
So our accountant handled all that for us. Our each location is under their own ABN and is a PTY limited. And then, you know, you're able to distribute shares based on, distribute shares from the beginning like that. Yeah.
Got it. So you've set it up as each individual company because you set them as an actual trust.
No, so we're not each company is a PTY company, each location. Sorry, yeah.
So it's not like a trust where the company is the trustee for the trust and your beneficiaries.
Yeah,
okay. Got it.
And so we each location obviously operates under their own ABN with their own financial statements, so that not one location is impacted by another. Although we run the brand as a whole, each location is financially independent of the other.
Okay, that's cool. And so you've got to go to your accountant to do that. And to set up a new company properly is what, a couple hundred bucks? And if you're not doing the trust is like an extra 2 or 3K, but you're not doing that. It's like $500 or something to set up
your
company.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And who pays for that?
You do.
So me, when you say you do, you mean you, the gym owner.
Business owner. Yeah, the business owner. Yeah. Yeah.
So they say, hey, look, say, Johnny, you were going to
partner. Especially as who you'd be as the majority shareholder as such, you know, I think you take ownership of that stuff and then you're selling a portion of the company to the potential partner. Yeah.
Got it. So you essentially get all this set up. You pay for the legal setup fees and all that. Then you go, and do you officially go to a solicitor and get a contract and agreements set up properly?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we went through a legal company and got proper contracts done up because remember you do need an employment contract anyway because this partner is employed as a gym manager, so this contract needs to be in place for that position at the very least, and also just having to have real clear understanding and expectations of the roles moving forward. But essentially your partner is still employed by a company that you're the majority shareholder of, or you're the director of, so there does need to be contracts in place.
Yep.
Because you are, I guess for us, like I'm still the sole director of each location.
That's what's going to be my question.
That's right. Yeah, so I'm the sole director of each location still, especially as the heavily majority shareholder, and then the other guys are managers and shareholders.
Yep, got it. So yes, so there's four locations, for example. Each of them has their own PTY company, limited, or if you're American, LLC. And if we're talking, I only can speak on Australian stuff, but then each PTY limited company needs to have a director assigned to it. Yep. And you can have one or you can have multiple directors, but you've assigned it as a single director because you're the majority shareholder of each company.
Yep. That's right. If you went, I don't know, like other examples, if you went 50-50 or if you went into an equity only partnership, obviously you might then be starting to look at obviously shared directors and things like that. But with the way that we're running things, the guys are on salary and they get dividends. That means the way we've done it, that means I'll be the sole director. Yeah.
That's cool. I think your way makes a bit more sense because otherwise, if you do it the other way, they'll have to front way more cash.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So in this example that you used, I think we said the person was going to put down 30K for 10%. Say the gym is a 60K fit out for whatever reason. That means I put down 30, they put down 30. But at the end of it, hopefully if things work out from our 30K investment each, we've got a 300K gym, or it's valued at a 300K gym. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And so when you say that 30, now we might be splitting some hairs here, but you said let's just use the example a 60k fit out for the new gym, and when you said they put in 30, is that 10%?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so gotcha. You essentially had put that towards the fit out costs, you know what I mean? Unless you went and fitted it all out yourself and then tried to buy the partner in, which probably you wouldn't do. You'd want just a bit more certainty first, but you can do that if your gym was already operating for a few years, obviously. But in my instance, we've talked about doing it, forming the partnership, then starting the gyms, each location together, you know. But the other way of going about it is you've already opened the locations, they're doing well, and then you need to get partners involved, you know. In your example, the benefit could be if you get a guy to buy in and he's put down 30 to 50K, and hopefully that covers all the fit out costs, then you might, as a director, you might end up with another location without having to put down much of any cash at all, you know. Mm. And then they get a buy-in, you know what I mean? You know, keep it simple, 30 to 50K fit out, get them to do the investment, they pay for the fit out, you supply the brand and the business, they get a job, they get equity, you get the rest and help run the business, and you grew another location without putting down any cash maybe.
Hey, that is actually really cool. I like how you sort of summarize it all there at the end, because it's that of bringing all the points and the ideas together.
Yeah.
And then let's just say, cool, we're set up, we're up and running now. We've got it, we've done the fit out, we've done our grand opening. And because they're at 10%, well, I guess it's just like off profit at the end. But my question here is, people might be thinking, what about things like other expenses like marketing, for example? Who pays for that?
The business does, you know. So you would obviously, I guess for me, if I was opening a location or a gym, part of the fit out costs would be the initial 3 to 6 months of marketing to fill the place, you know what I mean? That's going to have to be part of that cost, you know. But essentially that's part of your business expenses, like any business, and that would come from the business fund, but not one personally, if that makes sense. That's an expense to the business. Yeah,
no, that makes perfect sense. And then like, who is then the person that's responsible for making sure like BAS and everything else is all covered, like doing your tax?
Depends on how you've done the partnership. But if you go into this as the sole director, to me, that would fall under your responsibilities or whoever's allocated to that, you know, your accountant within the business. But for me, I do all the finances on behalf of my partnerships. Yeah. And those guys do like the day-to-day operations of their locations and the coaching. I do marketing, systems and finance.
Got it. So you're essentially operating.
If you were the director, you would definitely, in my eyes, be responsible for making sure BAS and all that's all square. Yeah.
So for people listening who don't know what BAS is, we're talking about GST. So paying your GST and paying people super and, you know, all that stuff. So let's say, oh man, you brought up something there and it's gone. But doing the taxes, then do you do the taxes? You get them to obviously keep things in check on their side in the gym, making sure memberships are up to date and all that sort of stuff. But then do you operate kind of like a HQ for them? So you do it for all of the locations. So you're kind of like the head office.
That's right, absolutely. So, you know, I update them every week on exactly what the numbers were, profit, revenue, profit, expenses, and all that. And we had always have, like, even if we weren't partners and you were running locations and you had managers in them, you would always need to be like weekly pulse check on all the major KPIs in the business, what the targets, what the goals are, and how you're going to achieve them. No different if you've got a partner, they would just theoretically be more driven to help push and achieve those goals and go above and beyond because they're invested in the outcome.
Cool. And I want to circle back to the thing you spoke about to, as the last point to touch on is the trust factor. Because yep. Cool, this all sounds good. Somebody's got something, they're like, okay, but what sort of checks and balances do you have in place? Obviously, you've got to trust the person, which is why you picked them in the first place. But do you have like anything to cover your ass, so to speak?
I think personally for me, we've been pretty lucky. And I know a lot of partnerships that don't work out. When I have full trust in my guys, and maybe that's just because we're so close on a personal level as well. And then just being able to separate personal and business is really important too. You know what I mean? We've got our usual contracts in place and anything like that. But to be honest, with me, Jax, and Craig, like, we haven't had any issues in terms of legalities or nothing's gotten murky. And that probably goes on a business and professional level as well. But I think constant communication is really the key and being open and transparent with each other.
Yep. And if there is...
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And if there is litigation things, like, that's all in the agreement at the very beginning, yeah, before you guys, yeah, get together. Your solicitor will go and set all that up. So if there is things that need to happen, you've got an outline of like, cool. It's in a, like, what the, I'm essentially guessing that what you would have done is what I've done in the past is what's called a partnership agreement.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's all there as well. And, you know, the worst thing though is it's not the agreements that going to get broken, is you're going to lose, if anything happens, you know, obviously you lose a partner, you lose a friend probably, and also you risk losing a location as well, you know, because that person was heavily aligned with that location. It wasn't you there growing it every day. You weren't the face, it was your partner who was there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I hate to talk about worst case scenarios, but I know, I'm just thinking, if I was a listener listening to this and I was thinking about doing it, what questions would be going through my head? I'd be like, oh yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about this?
Yeah.
Is there anything else, like, if you were the listener listening to this, what kind of questions would you have? Or have we covered most of it?
I think we've covered most of it. I think the main thing would be is, I guess to get trust from someone, you have to give trust, you know, and this person that you partner with is not going to feel like you trust them if you constantly micromanage them either. You know what I mean? If you're like giving them control of this location and having them feel like it's theirs, but you're constantly riding over the top of it and overdoing it and breathing down their neck all the time, just like any employee. But I think, you know, to get trust, you have to give trust, you know, and I think that's a really important way to help manage this partnership. This person doesn't want to brag that they own a percentage of this location. They want it to actually feel like it and they want it to look like it. That's what's important, you know, not some bit of paper that has an agreement on it in the back of their drawers. This is, you know, the fitness industry. It's all about owning, you know, being seen as a leader in your gym, not just that guy's a partner on paper, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
100%, mate. 100%.
Which I think works really well is the autonomy that the team has and the contribution they has more than anything, making them feel like a partner, not just someone who gave you 20 or 30K a few years back, you know?
yeah, totally. And it's beneficial for both parties anyways to have them feeling like a partner, because they're going to be more personally invested. They're going to dig in and like go to bat for the business and live and breathe like it is their own business, because it is essentially at the end of the day. You're slicing off a little piece of the pie for them to feel 100% involved.
That's it. And like I say, although it's not just about their location, it's about the overall brand integrity and the growth of it. And if people are out there constantly talking about how good your brand is, it's not just, they're not just talking about that guy's location, they're talking about the whole company and they want to be a part of that, you know? So they'll be invested doing it right. They'll be invested in all of that, not just them in their own location and not for selfish needs.
Taking a photo for the IG, mate. Boom. Hey, there he is. Thumbs up. Guys listening in, thanks. If you're still here by now, this has been a really, really juicy podcast. I love it. Johnny, you're a legend, mate. Big. Thanks so much for sharing, again, tell people the name of your gyms and stuff just so they can check out your socials if they want to see a little bit more about your gym and what you're about.
So jump online on Instagram, PPSHQ_gym, website ppshq.com.au, or you can follow me at Johnny PPS Gyms. It's all pretty straightforward. But yeah, if you jump online, I think the major thing you'd see, like if you jump on our Instagram, for example, is it's not franchise. It's not multiple different Instagram accounts of different quality for each location. It's one central account, and it's maintained brand quality across the board, not just once again, not just separately for different locations, you know, which I think is really important to show unity. Yeah.
That's actually, man, podcast episode number 3.
Awesome. The triple threat.
That's it. The hat trick. Guys, thank you. Johnny, thank you so much for coming on. Guys, if you're listening, that was amazing. Can you please share this podcast with somebody? You know, if you feel like they need to hear it, share it with them. Because this is a podcast that's just, nobody can find it unless you're like searching gym podcast. Like, it's a pretty obscure niche that we're in, like gym business podcast, right? So we are the Gym Boss Podcast. And the only way that people know about this is if you're on my email list or any of my social medias. And that's pretty much it. Like, you can't really run ads to promote a podcast. I haven't figured out how to do it successfully. Well, let me rephrase that. I haven't invested the time to figure out how to do it successfully. Yeah. And a lot of podcast growth comes from just word of mouth, old school word of mouth. So shout around. Johnny's a knowledgeable mofo, and you guys should hear more from him, right?
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
And, again, guys, like I said at the start, if you've listened to this and you are a gym owner and you want some help with your advertising, where not just with your advertising, but like getting leads, helping you with the follow-up of those leads, setting the appointments for initial consultations, well, then we can help you out with that. Or at least let's have a chat and find out, see if we're a good fit for each other. So go to iwantgymleads.com. You can go over there. You can see we've got an offer at the moment where we'll bring you your first 10 clients for free to prove to you that our stuff really works. That's why we want to do it first. So to demonstrate we can help you by actually helping you first, which is a novel concept that a lot of people aren't really really doing, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like our version of like the 14-day free pass for a gym or something, right? So iwantgymleads.com, go over there, go check it out. And if you like it, pop your information in and we can have a chat and see if it works for you. Johnny, thank you so much, mate. And everybody, thanks, I'll see you on the next one.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.